Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this manic Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, the community radio station, right here in Kansas City. We're going to talk some interesting topics here today, so some current topics too as well. We're going to journey on over. Boy, just about a half a block down the street to the Unicorn Theater where Octoroon is up and running. And with us, tell us all about it. The director is here. It's always nice to have the director with us. Dameron Russell Armstrong. He is the director of this show. He is also the executive artistic director of the new Kansas City Black Repertory Theater. And besides that, he has appeared many times at the Unicorn, at the Kansas City Repertory Theater, at the New Theater, at the Living Room, of course, the Coterie, Theater for Young America, Late Night Theater. That was an experience for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember your late night theater days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was always a lot of fun for the actors. Yeah. And off-Broadway as well.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us over, Michael.
Looking forward to hearing some of the background on some of these things. Cinnamon Schultz is with us as well. She plays the role of Dora. She has appeared. Hers is kind of long, too.
Right? I'm sorry.
She's been around for a moment.
She has appeared at the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. She has appeared, of course, many times with Kansas City Actors Theater, with the Coterie, Theater for Young America. And I need to mention, because it doesn't happen for many performers, he performed as the role of Victoria in the movie Winter's Bone, which received a Best Picture nomination at the Academy Awards. And a lot of performers go their entire career, would love to appear in a picture that was nominated for an award and never get a chance. That has to have been a highlight for you.
It was. It was a fun roller coaster to ride while it happened. And it's fun to think, wow, that did happen to me once. Wow.
Maybe they'll be. Yeah. A Winterborn 2.
Oh, yeah. One can only dream.
But she's here, and Dameron is here. They're going to talk about Octoroon, which is now up and running at the Unicorn Theater. A show about race and identity in America. How would you describe that?
Yes. That, in a nutshell, mm-hmm. Is what the show is about. Racial issues between class, racial issues within race itself. Very interesting way of telling the story, Brandon Jenkins does, because he approaches it through comedy, which is a lot of fun. A lot of laughter happens. I always tell folks, if you enjoy sketch comedy, you will enjoy this show, because most comedy is born out of some real tragic moment.
Oh, no doubt.
And so to be able to approach the topic of race, which we in this country often have trepidation, even broaching a conversation about, is a really great way to do that.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard often to start the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And through comedy, well, sometimes comedy can open doors.
It certainly does in the show, because you'll find yourself laughing and then listening to what's being said, and you'll find that laughter turn into a groan or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Is there a basic storyline that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. The story itself, written by Dion Boucicault, the writer of The Octoroon, the play we're doing is An Octoroon, is based on, I call it a deconstruction of his actual work. He was an Irishman, play written in 1859, came to America and wrote about what he saw slavery was in America. And so within this story, you have the story of Dora, who is played by Cinnamon,
yes.
Daughter of a wealthy landowner, who has befriended the Paytons, who the story basically centers around. The Paytons, when you meet them, have lost the master of the house to death. The wife, Mrs. Payton, is on her deathbed. Zoe, who is our ingenue heroine, is the octoroon. The nephew comes in from Paris to take over the plantation, and he falls in love with the octoroon. Well, at this time, as the title tells you, he is against the law for a Caucasian man to marry an octoroon. An octoroon being a person who is one-eighth black or one grandparent in eight is African-American, even though they present Caucasian. It's still against the law.
See, an eighth is not much. That's pretty watered down by that point. In appearance, does she look...
No.
She presents Caucasian. In that day and age, it was enough for you not to be able to marry a person who was, quote-unquote, 100% Caucasian, which is very funny when you talk about immigrants all coming in and the mashup of genes that have happened. But still, in order to isolate a segment of the population, they put a stamp on you.
Yep. Yeah. You were allowed to marry your cousin.
Yes.
But you are not allowed to marry anybody who had any sort of black heritage.
Yeah.
So if you were 16th, you still only another, that was fine?
Well,
no?
If you had a drop of black blood.
Any drop at all.
A drop of black blood.
Well, I suppose, I'd get myself in trouble. I would secretly tell them, don't talk about that. Chances are, they didn't have the records or not. What they are today, chances are.
And a lot of people got away with that. But then what could happen is because you have black blood in your lineage, your offspring, it could be a recessive gene.
Sure.
It happened several times that you'd have a octoroon or quadroon and they married a Caucasian person and the baby came out black.
Well, Cinnamon, does this cause problems for Dora, your character?
Well, unfortunately, yes.
I kind of guessed that.
Yeah. Well, because Dora falls in love with the lead, the nephew who's come from Paris, and she figures she can, with her money that she has from the plantation, and of course her father, because that's what a woman's worth was as much money as her father had. She figures she can help save the plantation, but she comes to realize that obviously he has fallen in love with Zoe. She doesn't take the news very well.
It's another comic moment.
Yes.
In this play.
Yes. Of course, Dora does try to save Zoe in the end, but is unable to. That's the thing with comedy is, like we talked about, tragic moments can be made a lot funnier than just everyday life. And so this show lends itself beautifully to comic moments all throughout.
Good.
And I don't think that there is one character that ends up happy out of this show, but yet it's very funny.
Which is so true to life, because many times we love to have a Disney ending.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And all the loose ends have been wrapped up and everything is great, which is why this show is so important, and it's important that it's happening now because it comes full circle. There's so many lines in the show. Should there be one law for the white man and one for the red man? That's pulled from
nightly
news from headlines.
That was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the idea of comedy kind of pulling the load here and perhaps making it more comfortable for the audience to digest. Do you feel that way?
Well, I don't know that it's more comfortable for them. It gives them an in, definitely, because like Dameron said, is you'll find yourself laughing and then suddenly it turns into that groan, or you'll stop laughing and think to yourself, should I be laughing at that? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, yes, you can laugh at that. But I think what I would love for people to walk away with is talking about all the issues that are brought up in the show. That's the reason that we're doing it in the first place, yes, to open up that door. It shouldn't be taboo to talk about all the struggles and the still having to deal with the racial uncomfortability. We should be able to talk about it. So this is an opening for people to do that.
We live in a great country.
Yes.
We do. But just because you're really good at something doesn't mean that you stop practicing.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to any Olympic athlete or any athlete worth their salt or at the top of their game, they don't get there and then stop practicing. They don't get there and go, I've reached the pinnacle and now I can sit down and I will be at the top of my game for the rest of my life. And that's how we have to think in this country, is that we have come a very long way.
Yes.
But have we reached perfection? No.
No.
And the fact that these kind of conversations often gives one trepidation, and we tend to brush these issues under a rug and then continually trip over that lump because we haven't done anything with it, is the handwriting on the wall.
Yes.
We're never going to truly solve any issue until we address it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What were you thinking as you began the casting process? You were probably looking for certain versatility in the performance.
Oh, definitely. It was a tough show to cast because the bulk of the show is done in a melodrama style. And most actors today have either never done melodrama, mm-hmm, or look at it as most people do, as this old style and quite boring. So getting actors to a point where they didn't feel like they had to do a natural style, but could let themselves go and be in their minds as silly acting as they possibly could be, even to the point of doing a Carol Burnett sketch. Then finding a way to smooth those edges to make it more palatable to 2016 audience.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the performers in this show, other than Cinnamon.
Well, they're Cinnamon. It was great. It was so funny because you mentioned Cinnamon working at Theater for Young America,
okay,
and that's how we met some. Rufus Burns, mm-hmm, plays the lead, George, and McCloskey, mm-hmm, and also plays the playwright, BJJ. He is fresh off of my production of African Company Presents Richard III. So is Amber McKinnon,
mm-hmm,
who plays Dido, yeah, one of the slave women.
Mm-hmm.
Ross Razadat.
Yes. Badger.
Yeah, Badger, who plays Minnie,
mm-hmm,
who's another of the slaves. Tisha. Who's Tisha's last name?
Bankston.
Sorry, Bankston.
That's
Tisha Bankston, mm-hmm, who plays another one of the slaves. Mm-hmm. Grace.
We have Logan Black.
Yeah, Logan Black, who plays the playwright, a.k.a.
Dion Busco.
Dion Busco.
Mm-hmm.
Are we missing anyone?
Yes, we have
Jessica. Thayer.
Yeah, Michael Thayer and Jessica France, who plays Jessica plays Zoe, and Michael plays several different roles as well.
Yeah.
Three different characters.
And let us not forget Peter Morgan.
Oh, Peter,
the baby of the group.
Yes,
I think he's the first year at UMKC.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Which is one of the other great things about working on this project, mm-hmm, is that it is a collaboration with UMKC.
Yes.
And though we have only Peter, who is in one of the acting schools there, the entire design team,
yes,
is made, mm-hmm, up of all UMKC
grad students.
Yeah, grad students that are amazing. You have,
oh,
if
sure,
you come and see the show just for the set.
And the costumes.
Yes, and the costumes and the lighting,
mm-hmm,
the sound. I mean, these,
goodness,
designs are amazing. And it's wonderful to work with these students, quote unquote,
yeah,
at the beginning of their careers, because seeing them somewhere down the road in their Broadway design is a role that more than one of them will take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Costuming would be a challenge. I guess it is with every period piece. Not as much as Shakespeare, but...
Well, with this piece, it's close to it, especially considering that she had to costume Rufus, who not only plays the three characters, but he plays the three characters in the scene all at once.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
So are we talking quick changes?
Well, there are quick changes, and then there's a suit that he basically
is able to play both of them at the same time.
Just so, turning side by side.
Yeah. So you'll have to come and see how that manifests itself on stage.
Show is up and running right now at the Unicorn Theater. The Unicorn Theater is located at 3828 Main Street. If you MapQuest, you need that zip code 64111. You can also call their box office line to make inquiries, 816-531-PLAY. The easiest number to remember in local theater. If you're better with numbers, the PLAY translates to 7529, or you can also go online and check it out at unicorntheater.org. We're speaking with Damon Russell Armstrong and Cinnamon Schultz. You are also the executive artistic director of the new Kansas City Black Repertory Theater. And it all seems to coincide. You had your opening not all that long ago.
No, not long ago. We opened, and the acronym is BRTKC. So okay. It's Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City. We opened with a benefit concert at the end of last summer in September with Dreamgirls in concert, which was great. We were able to go out to the Gym Theater and do a citywide call for that. So most of the cast were people who had never been on stage before, but grew up in the church, singing in the choir, and that sort of thing. So it's been a real exciting trek to get to production. We started a year ago with all the paperwork that you need to file. Certainly becoming a 501c3 was very important to us to be a not-for-profit. And last month, as I said, Rufus and Amber just came off of a production of The African Company Presents Richard III, which was our first fully produced show. And working in tandem with the Unicorn on an Octoroon, for me, it is really just another a great example of why Black theater needs to happen in Kansas City, and certainly needs to have a home in Kansas City.
Yes.
Because there are so many important stories that are not being told because it's just not a part of the mission of most theaters in Kansas City. The Unicorn is great with programming this sort of play, but for a theater to have a home and truly hold a mirror up to the constituency in which it is trying to service, I think is very important. And everybody learns something from all theaters. Mm-hmm. So,
do you have a next production planned? Where is it going to be? About when do you think it'll be?
We're looking at February for our next show. We're slated for a soldier's play. Many people might be recognize the title A Soldier's Story because it was a movie. Denzel got his start in it. Mm-hmm. A lot of famous Black actors came out of that production. And actually, Denzel did the play before the movie came.
Yeah, in the movie? I can't think. But it's the same basic story.
Yes. But movies often have the opportunity to make it broader, so there are several, of course, several more characters in the movie than you'll find in the play, but the heart of the play is the heart of the movie, so you'll be able to enjoy that. Our next group productions are going to be held at the Arts Asylum to a 1,000... 9th Street.
Yeah,
it's
a fairly big space, room for lots of people to
sit.
Yes,
and right now they're undergoing a capital campaign where they're putting in sound baffling and new seats and trying to really bring it up to code when it comes to audience enjoyment.
Sure. So yet another venue where actors can go to be in things.
Which is great. Kansas City has.
Perhaps pocket a few dollars.
Oh, definitely. Kansas City has a wealth of theater companies and not necessarily enough venue spaces for it. So for this one to come online, we're pretty excited about it.
And what about the cinema? Did I read The Living Room, perhaps?
No, actually, the next thing I'll be doing, I'll be full-time mommy for a while, which I'm very excited about. But my next venture will be directing for Kansas City Actors Theater next season.
Which show?
Alive the Mind, okay. Sam Shepard. I'm very excited about that.
Speaking with Zamrin and Cinnamon about An Octoroon, currently on the stage of the Unicorn Theater, will run through December the 26th. What's the basic week like? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday through Sunday.
Your matinee, of course, on the Sundays. During the week, at 7:30, your weekend, Friday and Saturdays, are at 8 o'clock. And check the website, because those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are generally a pay what you can. So it's a great opportunity if you're a student or...
Or if you're on a budget.
Or if you're on a budget, or if it's Christmas time.
You
still get to see the show.
The website is unicorntheater.org. Oregon, the number to call, 816-531-PLAY. Should they risk walking up to the box office? Or
sure, do it.
Pretty
definitely.
Booked up?
Yeah, it's pretty booked. So I always say get your tickets in advance. But you may be the lucky one. So
that's right.
Walk up to that
so
box
walk
office.
Up if you can, too.
What has the audience reaction been so far? Do they get the idea that it's in a different style, but it's still a serious story?
Well, that's a good question. Every audience, of course, is different. There are some that are just, they can't stop laughing. They think it's hysterical from beginning to end. And then there are other audiences that are very quiet because, and it's not that they're not listening. They're completely listening from beginning to end, but they are almost afraid to laugh until somebody gives them that impetus. Oh, they're laughing, so I can too. Mm. So then it starts to pick up. But every single audience walks away understanding what we're talking about, which is wonderful. No matter what style we're doing it in.
I would think that would be the case. It might be hard to get them started, but once they get started and they see it's all right to laugh, mm-hmm. that it would be fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the way that Brandon has the show structured, it opens with Rufus playing BJJ, talking about the idea of the show, how he came to the show, and then we move into the show. So he kind of leads you by the hand to get you into the melodrama style, and then it takes off.
Yes. And you have to just come see it. I can't stress enough that when you watch Rufus have a knife fight with himself and you watch a steamboat explode cotton everywhere, it's just a sight to behold.
It's worth the price of admission.
It really
just
is.
Those two things.
Exactly.
Well, for those who don't know what we mean by melodrama, do you want to give a little bitty thumbnail sketch? It's kind of an over-exaggeration of things.
Yes, an over-exaggerated acting. So if you find somebody who is, we say, over the top.
Well,
so,
I suppose one line from silent movies, and silent movies are probably a good comparison.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly. It's silent movie with sound.
I remember, imagine with me, audience, no, 1,000 times, no. No one would actually say that. But it is funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And especially because it seems like a foreign concept when you look at the naturalistic style of acting that happens today. But I feel like it comes full circle because the slaves in the show speak in their own vernacular, which happens to be that of 2016.
Correct.
So you have melodrama on this side, you have 2016 vernacular over here, and in its own way, it's melodrama.
Sure.
So the slaves probably sound more educated. That's by design? That's by author design?
Or more understood because correct. It's a note on one's ear that you're familiar with, I would say. I don't think that he's playing them to be smarter than the Caucasians in the show.
No.
I just think it's another way of him saying, if you don't deal with problems in the past, you're going to repeat
them. Often so.
Yeah.
Was it easy for you to adjust to the style? Had you done a melodrama before? You've done lots of things.
I have done lots of things. I have.
Sound like that's a negative.
Oh,
right?
Well, no.
It just means she's been around.
Stop it. Stop it.
Well, she's well seasoned.
Yeah. Exactly. Not old by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
No, I've done many period pieces. And I have done broad comedy, because I've done late-night theater as well. But I have never done melodrama.
How are you dressed, I have to ask?
As a cowboy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were more
it was Bonanza.
So you were more masculine.
Oh, yes.
It was the all-female version of Bonanza, directed by Missy Cooper.
Oh, I remember that. Well, Stassi Case was in that as well.
So that was probably the closest to melodrama I've ever done.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I've never done an actual melodramatic show before this. So it's been fun, actually. It's been a lot of fun.
Did everyone fall into it, Dameron, fairly easily?
Yes. I think once we got the show cast, it was with the people we felt could make that transition easy.
An unusual yet probably successful way of telling the story.
I think so. We have talkbacks on Sundays after the show.
Oh, what do they tell you?
That they really, really enjoy it. I mean, last night's audience, as I came in, were giving a standing ovation. So they were really moved by not only the construct of comedy to tell this story, but also the story itself, that it is being told.
Yeah. A unique approach, I think, to talking about race. As you said very early in the show, it's hard starting a conversation sometimes. Sometimes we even fear doing that because we're afraid we're going to offend, and we don't want to be labeled that way.
Right.
So sometimes we avoid for that reason. But humor, perhaps.
Comedy often can offend and generally does.
Yeah,
and really great writers know how to offend everybody.
It's true.
And this one does that.
And then conversations can come out of laughter.
I guess being an equal opportunity offender has its advantages there.
Sure,
because
does.
It would be hard to label you, Ben.
Yes.
It really would. Sounds like an interesting show, doesn't it? And Octoroon is up and running right now. We'll run through December 26th. At the Unicorn Theater. A journey to this part of town is always very interesting to do. You get to drive by the radio station. You have the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater just down the street. It's a great area to do a show in. And should I briefly mention the other show running at the Unicorn simultaneously?
Yes.
Jennifer Mazian, Application Pending. If you've ever had a child in... I don't know. I haven't. In what, prep? Is it prep school
it's
or children?
Preschool?
Preschool, yeah.
Sure.
I guess the fighting to get involved.
To the best school ever, yes.
And Jennifer plays 40 characters?
Correct.
Yeah.
No, that's a challenge.
Yes. Very much so.
Put it on your calendar of things to do this month is come to the Unicorn twice, sometimes three times.
So
because
like
you'll be laughing so much, you'll miss a couple of things.
So it sounds like two shows in one building.
In one building.
Theaters. Yes. Do they stagger the opening times?
Yes, by 30 minutes. So ours during the week starts at 7:30, hers will start at 8, and then when ours start at 8, hers is at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can learn all about this by going to their website, unicorntheater.org. They'll tell you about both shows. There are some good pictures from Jennifer on the phone as well as pictures from Anne Octoroon. Both shows run through December 26th at the Unicorn Theater, 3828 Main Street. If you MapQuest 64111, the number to call once again, 816-531-PLAY, unicorntheater.org. I want to thank my guests for coming. It's always nice to see Dameron. I don't don't see you all that often anymore.
But I'll be back.
You're mostly in New York, but you come here for this?
No, I have to be. I'm in Kansas City now because of the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City. Because it's a 501c3, you have to have residence in the state.
Oh, I see. So you're a Kansas Cityan again?
All over again.
Do you miss the Great White Way?
A bit. I thought that I would be away from Kansas City for the rest of my career because I love Kansas City, and certainly with all of the arts that are happening here, I think this company will add to that. And so I'm happy to be home and happy to get this work done.
Well, you built a nice reputation when you were here. But I understand why you'd want to expand out. Damron Russell Armstrong, he's the director of An Octoroon and also the executive artistic director of the Black Repertory Theater of Kansas City. Thank you so much for being here. And Cinnamon Schultz, she's done many things. It's also in this, and of course she was, if you rent, I guess you can still rent, Winterbone. See, that's no small accomplishment. I've heard actors on shows say, I would love to be in just one movie that got a nomination. And you were in Best Picture. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And you can see her on the stage now of The Unicorn. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to take a brief break. We'll come back. We'll tell you about some things that are going on. I think you'll find it very interesting when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. Thank you very much, Charles. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. A lot goes into putting this radio station on the air. Some people only recognize, unfortunately, the people on the air.
I mean, that's true.
That is the.
But they're our finest asset. So. I mean, well, in my estimation, it would be. You wouldn't let me doing it. That's for sure.
Oh well, I'll bet you do a fine job. You have your favorites. You're very good with the music community. You actually play in some bands,
yeah.
So you're right there. This is the voice of Bill Sundahl.
Hello, everybody.
He is the. I have to look. Events coordinator and
volunteer coordinator, underwriting coordinator.
These are a lot of
put legs on a bar stool if I need to, whatever.
These are hard jobs to do. Why did you take this on when you could have just as easily said, no, I'll do something easier?
Because I love KKFI. I mean, that's like really, it sounds cheesy or whatever, but I just love this place. It needs to exist. I think more now so than ever.
People tell me all the time, so many different kinds of shows. Does that make it hard when you're in the underwriting department?
In fact, it's the exact opposite. It makes it very easy to meet a particular person's needs. If they want to try and, you know, if they have a blues event or whatever it is that they're trying to get reach a specific audience, we can definitely help them out with that because we have such a varied and wide array of different topics and great hosts that tell the community about what's going on day to day, month to month.
The station is probably more involved in local concerts than ever before. Was that something you really wanted to do when you came
here? Probably by default because I just happen to know people in those communities and it's a way to raise money, you know, to also broaden our reach in the local and regional music community is through putting on events that feature the station and feature our local artists, and we try to help support them too. I mean, it's not every time you see a band playing at a KKFI event they're getting paid, but most of the time they are. I was talking about what's your I love KKFI rate or whatever, but you know, we understand that art is important and that it has to. You can't survive on exposure, if you will. You try to take your exposure to the grocery store, they don't really. Yeah, they're not interested.
Some of these events, you know, you work on for a long time. You probably want to talk about things you have coming up. So why don't I let you do that rather than...
Well, no, that's fine. I have Yeah, just a deep and abiding love for KKFI. So one of the things that I like to do is put on events. And so also some of our other hosts are very skilled at this as well. So Lead Belly's birthday is coming up. And in January, on the 13th, we're going to do an event at Knuckleheads in their saloon. And this is the Boogie Bridge is hosting this event. So Jason Mavone's on from 3 to 6 every Thursday afternoon, playing you your daily recommendation. I forget his shtick on the daily recommended allowance of slow blues. Yeah. Something like that's one of it, you know. But he does a lot of fun stuff in his show that I enjoy quite a bit. So he is putting together this birthday party for Lead Belly. And it's going to feature the Jason Vivoni and the Billy Bats, or sort of the house band. And then Casey Roush, her country duo, is going to be playing some music. And then Amanda Ray and Danny Cox and Noah Davis will all be joining the show at different – I think they're going to do some stuff by themselves, stuff with the band backing them up. And I mean, Lead Belly's – he's Lead Belly.
Yeah.
I mean – so it's going to be really fun. And it's the Gospel Lounge is a very intimate thing. I think you cram 70 people in there maybe. So it's going to be a fun – it'll be packed.
Yeah, I brought up a Lead Belly number, Burgundy Blues. Do we want to hear a little bit?
Sure.
Or would you rather, talk about your own stuff?
No. Let's hear some Lead Belly. Who doesn't love Lead Belly? Come on.
Let's hear it. There's a little bit of Lead Belly with a Lead Belly concert coming up. Ought to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to sound exactly like that because it's our own Kansas City folks bringing their own flavor, but we like to do events like this. I mean, shine a light on the artists, the unbelievable artists that have brought joy and happiness and sadness to our lives over the years. So Jason is putting that one together, and then we really have so many. It really does take a village to keep this place going, obviously. And so Alexis Barclay, who put together Tonight's the Night, Neil Young tributes on the night before Thanksgiving the last few years, he wants to do a Kinks one, which I got very, very excited about because I'm a Kinks dork. The answer. So if anybody says, what do you like better, the Stones or the Beatles? The answer is the Kinks. They're way better than both of those bands.
That's right. Diana Annis is with us. Oh, do you have something more you want to
say? Oh, I just wanted to say, so on March 10th, we're going to be doing an evening of the music of the Kinks. And it'll be called Where Have All the Good Times Gone? That will also be at Knuckleheads.
Yeah, we haven't picked a song yet. A Kinks song.
We'll find something good.
We're going to. Diana wanted you to talk about this collaboration of
bands. Yeah.
Just to get her going here.
Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. My name's Diana Lynn. You may recognize my voice. I am the host of the Tuesday Morning Buzz, the Tasty Brew Edition, and I have become very involved in the fundraising efforts here at the radio station, in addition to during pledge drives, pitching on my own show, raising funds, taking on the gauntlet as the committee chair for the fundraising committee.
Yay, and we're super lucky to have her.
So I kind of eat, sleep, and breathe how to keep KKFI on the air because it's an expensive proposition, and although we love doing the pledge drives and hearing from our listeners at their time, it really is a throughout the year thing that we need to do. And so not everybody can donate during pledge drive, and not everybody can come to an event at a particular time and place, so we're constantly having fundraising events to hopefully widen that net a little bit so that everybody can participate. And so we've got some great events that we're going to be bringing to our listeners in 2017 that are unique and unusual. And one of them I'll have Bill explain a little bit about, called Collaborations, which we may or may not be combining with another event to make it more of a signature kind of gala thing on behalf of KKFI.
Yeah, so it's going to be called Collaborations Live, and we're doing it on June 17th at the Folly Theater, which is just a beautiful room. If anybody's seen any event shows there, it's really a historic place. It's in itself is a 501c3 that they were going to tear it down, and a group of concerned citizens came together several years ago and basically saved the building and renovated it, and now it is one of the coolest places to see a show. I mean, it's been everything from a brothel to
I was going to say, live, if walls could talk,
yeah,
at the Folly Theater.
Yeah.
They should do a show on that.
Yeah, I think
these
might
walls,
have.
These walls could talk.
The big name performers.
Oh, man.
That you could just,
yep.
When you go in there, look at some of the pictures on the lobby walls. You see the Marx Brothers, Humphrey Bogart.
You can feel it. I mean, the room itself is history. And so we are blessed enough to get to put on an event there. And so it's going to be June 17th, which is a Saturday night. And basically, we're reaching out to artists who we know and respect and say, who would you like to work with that's outside your wheelhouse, somebody you know, would love to get a hold of. I'll try and connect you guys and, you know, put together a 10 or 15 minute performance. So it'll be composers and dance troupes and musicians and filmmakers and just kind of really, I'm asking people to just go crazy and think of the wildest thing they can do, and we'll figure out how to make it happen. So, and then, you know, some of them we'll be able to make happen, some of them we won't. But so far we haven't run across any that we haven't been able to make
happen.
We
have 6 months to figure it out.
Yeah, no problem.
Sounds like a lot of planning.
It is a lot of planning. We're going to try and do a little, you know, Q&A session at the beginning with some of the artists that are involved, and a few other special surprises with that event, too. So I'm very excited about that one.
Now, while you were speaking, I was looking at the list of Kink songs. The one that just intrigued me the most, the Banana Boat song.
I don't know that song.
You call yourself a Kink song?
Well, they have, like, eons worth of music. I didn't say I was an expert. I was just like a dork for
them. It was recorded live in concert. We don't have to listen to the whole thing. But a little bit of the Banana Boat song. Sort of a famous song.
We could do Schizophrenia, too, if this one doesn't pan out.
By the Kinks. Here we go.
A fun song. Really?
Yeah, that really is a fun song.
Of a bygone era in many ways.
Definitely. Well, Where Have All the Good Times Gone? That's the name of the show. So I wanted to play Acute Schizophrenia Blues, I think it is.
Okay.
That it's a little bit... what is your... that's a little bit like this place. You know, you go from one show to the next, and everything is so disparate and fun that...
Creative
you know,
insanity, that sort of
yes,
thing?
Yes, yeah. What's yeah.
The 100,000-watt blowtorch of creative insanity.
That's
that
KKFI.
Is KKFI.
I love that. Okay. Can't get enough of that.
For your listening enjoyment here, Acute Schizophrenia.
Okay, I know you probably want to hear more of it, but
I know, right?
We're
You're
running
killing
out of time
me with this.
I'm feeling a little schizophrenic and paranoid, so I think we should stop.
I love that song.
But it gives you an idea of what you might hear in its entirety.
On March 10th. I want to be at Knuckleheads as well. And that'll be another group of great Kansas City musicians put together by the illustrious Alexis Barclay.
Now, what would you like to talk about?
Oh, man.
You have
so
a Beatles thing coming up.
We do on April 21st. Barry Lee with Signal to Noise is producing another Beatles night, and we just did one, I think, a couple months ago in October, and it was wildly successful and very fun. And everybody loves the Beatles, except for Kinks fans. That's not true.
Well,
we still love the Beatles. They're great.
There's a bunch of Beatles on here.
Oh, man.
We really don't have time, though.
Well, that's fine. So that's going to be on April 21st. I'm sure you'll hear about it on the air coming up in the next month. But also another one of my roles here is underwriting coordinator. So I can take a little time and explain what underwriting is. What
sure. Why don't you? Sure. We've had three of them on the show today. I'm happy to have them on.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Great.
So it's basically a way for organizations to spread the word about how they support KKFI and what they do as a way to say thank you for donating to KKFI. We tell the people about what, say, the Unicorn Theater has, Octoroon, and the other name of the show is escaping me right now.
yeah.
So anyway, they have a couple of shows in the holiday season, and that...
Application pending.
Application pending. Thank you very much. But, you know, the Unicorn Theater is a wonderful organization, and we're happy to have them support us. And so, essentially, you talk to Diana Lynn, our underwriting representative.
Yep.
And
pardon me while I take the other hat off of the
door. Right, exactly. And so, yeah, we work out a script and what makes sense and what follows all of our FCC guidelines. And we spread the word about what great things people are doing in the community. And and they help support us in turn. So we can be here for them to come on the air and talk about their things, or to just to play Democracy Now! Every day, or you know, all the other things that cost money that if you don't make money.
If you're interested in, you know, buying some time on KKFI,
donating to support KKFI.
Okay, that's what it's called. Okay, yep. That's the legalese. That's you can call Bill Sundahl or Diana Lynn at what number?
It would be 816-931-3122. That'll get you to the front desk, and if it goes to voicemail, just listen to the phone tree. But or you can email underwriting@kkfi.org, and that will get you to one of us.
Well, that's great. All kinds of things. And, anything else you'd like to bring up here?
Well, there's just any number of ways that our listeners can support us, and in turn, we can support them. I mean, as far as the underwriting component, it is a fraction of the cost of getting the word out about your event or your business as commercial radio, and it's one of the ways that we keep on the air, the underwriting, fundraising, pitching during pledge drive. It's all necessary in order to keep this very unique and unusual asset that has become more and more, I think, relevant and important as the days go ticking by. Yeah. September 8th, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more that it is important. And so but even talking about pitching during pledge drive, if you're listening right now and you think, boy, I'd like to come and help talk about KKFI, same number, 816-931-3122, or you can just email BillSundahl@kkfi.org, and I'll be happy to talk to you about that, get some training. We kind of try not to let just anybody walk in off the streets and do it. So, if you prove that you have the ability.
I don't know, they let me do it. So.
Well, that's true. They do.
There was some training involved.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in and telling
thanks for having us.
Telling the audience about what's going on. Sometimes people don't understand how this place works.
Yeah,
how do they raise money? How do they
so many spend? Volunteers. Yeah. It's unbelievable. That's how this place works. Every week, anywhere between 85 and 100 people come in and take time out of their lives to keep this place going. Middle of the night.
Underwriting special events, the pledge drives, auctions sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots of things to keep going. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you,
Michael. Thank you for doing what you do and spreading the word about
all
the great things
Bill
that are going
Sundahl,
on.
Bill Sundahl, events coordinator, does underwriting, volunteer coordinator, Diana Lynn, underwriting. They have different characters.
Yes, and host of the Tasty Brew every Tuesday morning. I'll see you guys at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Well, we have to make room now for jazz. Jazz is a very important part of KKFI. The Jazz Insider, Sam Wiseman, is next. He's up next. He'll be playing some great jazz for you. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag, and we'll see you. Next time.